Well, if you'd like to turn to the book of Proverbs, that's where we'll be again this evening. It's our last night in Proverbs, and then next Sunday night we'll be conquering Canaan, and we'll be in the book of Joshua. Now, I did something that I don't normally do, is I never timed myself on how long this message will go. So it can be really short or really long. It's a bit scary. Usually I time it so I have a basic idea, but we don't have it tonight. But Proverbs 23, verse 7. Proverbs 23, and I'll just read verse 7, and then we'll pray. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. We'll pray. Father, we thank you for the night. I ask that as we consider your word now, that, Lord, you'll reveal yourself to us. Lord, encourage us, guide us, illuminate our mind, and that your word will have its perfect place in our hearts and our minds this evening. And I do ask and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, what I thought we'd do is see what the book of Proverbs has to say about our thought life. See if there are some things that we can learn that may help us with our thought life. And we read there in verse 7, it says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Many say you are what you eat." And that's a scary thought when I consider the sort of things I eat, all right? It doesn't make me a very nice person, I dare say. But it's not, you are not what you eat. But the fact is, you are what you think. And that's even a scarier thought. I think I'd rather stick to the food one when you've got to weigh them up together. But the fact is, you are what you think. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And so we learn that controlling our mind is a very important thing for a believer. And we need to allow God to direct our thoughts. That's very important. We need to understand that the spiritual battle is very real, and it is actually fought and won in the mind. Whoever has control of the mind, or whatever the mind is thinking, well, then that is how we will eventually end up acting. And that's why Satan is very interested in the minds of people. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, it says, "In whom the God of this mind hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them," or those sort of words. Satan is in the business of blinding the minds of the lost. He doesn't want them to see and know the gospel, because he knows that the knowledge of the gospel and believing the gospel will bring freedom from the bondage that he has them in. And so he wants to blind the minds. He's in the business. He understands, get hold of the mind, control the mind, and you have control of the person. He wants people's minds to be full of wickedness. We'll look at some verses that might pay you to start turning over to the New Testament in Colossians. Over in Colossians, we read that it's due to our mind that we have been alienated. It says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 21, "And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled." And so as Satan blinds the mind of the lost, he knows that the wickedness of the heart starts to fulfill its desires, and that alienates people from the love of God as well. Satan knows that. And so the mind is very important. That's why the Lord has a lot to say about our thoughts and our mind. If you turn over to Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, we have this exhortation. "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed." How? How are we transformed? by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so there needs to be a renewal of the mind, a regular and continual cleaning up, and a desire to keep it clean. Ladies, you know, we put men in this as well, when you dust, all right, when us men dust, all right, it's just not a once-off act. I have dusted, all right, never to have to dust again. No, there is a regular need for that dusting, and that's why the ladies don't like it so much, and it's a continual thing. Same with cleaning up the house. It's just not a once-off act. There is a need to regularly clean the house because we are prone to make things messy. Same with our mind. There is a need for that renewing, that regular cleaning of the mind, because our mind is prone to get messy too. And so we need to be renewing it. Over in 1 Peter chapter 1, if you turn over there, 1 Peter chapter 1, we read in verse 13, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." We have an exhortation here to gird up, or that is to tuck in, your mind, the loins of your mind, and that's taken from the Roman soldier when they go out to battle. In those days, they wore dresses when they went out to battle, all right? Not really dresses, but we know the uniform, it could tend to get in the way. If they're running, they could trip over it. So they were to gird up those garments and tuck them into their loins so that they could run freely. You're not to have all your garments flapping around everywhere. It could pose a lot of problems. And Paul takes that analogy and applies it to our mind as well. In the battle for our souls, in that spiritual battle, we are not to have our thoughts flapping around everywhere and tripping us up. There is a need to be sober-minded, to be strict in what we allow ourselves to be thinking. And so there are certain roads and avenues and things that we shouldn't be allowing our mind to wander down. There needs to be a tucking in. We have, if you turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, a lovely verse to memorize in regards to your mind. I should be able to say it offhand, but I won't do it up here. But it says there in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Now that's something. Every thought needs to be brought into captivity so that it is obedient to Christ. It is something that Christ wants us to be thinking. That is our exhortation. And so Satan wants to blind the minds. The Lord wants us to gird up our minds and renew it. And so both Satan and the Lord knows fully well that the mind is very important. The one who has control of the mind, right, can affect every part of a person's life. And so we would be foolish to think that what we think about and the way that we allow our mind to go doesn't matter. We need to make sure that the mind or the battle is won by the Lord Jesus Christ in this area of our mind. And the first thing I want us to notice from the book of Proverbs is how influential our thoughts can have or be over us, how much our thoughts can influence us. If you turn to Proverbs chapter 14, our thoughts can influence our entire life. First of all, our thoughts can affect our health. It says in chapter 14, verse 30, says there, "A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy," which we know is a thought, "the rottenness of the bones." And what we can gather from this verse is our thoughts can bring life, but also wrong thoughts can bring rottenness of the bones. It can affect even our flesh and our health. And in Bible college, I know that I remember a diagram how we are made up of three, you know, the spirit, the soul, and the body. And I can remember the lecture explaining how with our soul, it's our mind and emotions and intellect, and how what goes on in the soul with our mind and our thoughts can actually affect our body and make us sick and cause various things. And I remember sitting there as a very wise 21-year-old, what a load of rubbish. How could that be true? You know, it's just thoughts, you know, they're just out there. It's not like it's anything physical. As years have gone by, I've realized that I was the fool and the lecturer was wise, because it was taken from the Word of God. And our thoughts can affect our body and the health of our body. You know, we just take the thought process of having anxious thoughts, where God tells us not to be anxious and He tells us what to be thinking upon instead. But we know you can have anxious thoughts and it can make your body literally shake. All right, it has a physical effect on you. It can take away your appetite, so there's a physical feeling of not having hunger anymore. It can take away that sleep. Physical sleep can go. You can feel, and then the snowballs, you can get tired and then you get sick, your immune system goes down, and so on. Anxious thoughts can make your heart go faster, and so they are thoughts and they cause something in your body to react and change. We know angry thoughts can have similar effects as well. Take away our sleep, our appetite, raise our blood pressure and raise our heart rate and so on as well. It affects our body, just our thoughts. Sad thoughts can cause very similar things and bring about various chemical changes in our body. And I'm not a doctor, so I'm not going to try to go into those things, but various chemical changes that can then cause us various feelings of sadness and so on. You're here tonight and you're sad, I'll guarantee there's some thoughts going on that are causing it, most of the time. And so there's no doubt that our thoughts, which are not physical, can affect the physical, for good or for bad. Also, our thoughts and our mind can affect our countenance. Have a look in chapter 15 of Proverbs, verse 13. It says, "A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken." And so, the way that we think can affect our countenance. Some people can hide, no doubt, the thoughts so it doesn't affect the countenance for a while. But generally, if those thoughts remain, it will affect our countenance. When you're sad, right, it will be noticed. When you're happy, it will be noticed on your face. When you're angry, it will be noticed on your face. It will eventually be noticed. You can tell those that have been bitter for years. They have a bitter face. Now, don't ask me what a bitter face looks like, but I just know when I see one, all right? People that have lived in bitterness for years, you can see it on their face. Children with mischievous thoughts. Now, I don't know what that's like, all right? But you can have a mischievous face, can't you? Yeah. Teenagers with a rebellious thoughts, you see it on their face, don't you? You don't even have to know what a teenager is thinking half the time. You can just see it on their face. There is a rebellious person. And there's happy thoughts, peaceful thoughts, sad thoughts. We can usually tell what mood a person is in by their face. One exception, as I've said before, a lot of times I look angry and I'm not, all right? I don't know how this has not worked with me, all right? But my happy thoughts aren't coming through to my face, all right? But sometimes I look grumpy and I'm actually happy on the inside. So I don't know how that works, as I said. But generally, the happiness will eventually come through, all right? That's the idea. But it affects us. That's what God's word says. Now, if you were to look at thoughts and the effects that it can have in other ways, we also learn it affects our words, all right? It'll come out. It affects our attitude towards others, all right? What I think about someone will affect my actions towards them. It will generate respect for them, or I will despise them, or I will think I'm better than them, or I'll think they're better than me, and it all comes down to my thought process about that person. And so our thoughts affect us. And that's the first thing we need to realize. They can be very influential. That's why the Word of God tells us to gird up the loins of our mind. Bring every thought into the captivity and obedience to Christ. Don't allow the bitter thoughts, the angry thoughts, the sad thoughts, the anxious thoughts, the immoral thoughts, the violent thoughts, the cynical thoughts, the doubting thoughts to reign in our mind. Otherwise, we will lose the battle for our mind. Don't think that you can just repeatedly dwell on something that is wrong and it won't affect you. It will. God's word has told us that. Also, we need to consider the deceitfulness of our thoughts. Most of us know Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. We know the verse, but oftentimes we don't believe it. And I know that is the case because our actions show that we don't believe it. Because oftentimes we allow ourselves to be deceived by our own very heart and thoughts. And when someone comes along to try and correct us from the Word of God, we still don't want to have anything to do with it. But because our heart is very easily deceived, we need to make sure that our thoughts line up with the Word of God. You know, in Proverbs chapter 16, if you turn there, in verse 25, we see that our thoughts can affect the way that we go. In chapter 16, verse 25, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. All right, that's how he's thinking. But the end thereof are the ways of death. So many people have gone the wrong way, but their heart has deceived them into thinking that this is the best way. And it's not that they're, hey, I might go this way because this is going to bring destruction to me and my family and my life. No, generally people don't do that. But our heart deceives us enough to think, no, this is a good way. And how many people have been persuaded to follow a certain career that has left them bankrupt spiritually, but they were convinced it was the right way to go? Or others have been persuaded to pursue a person, thinking this is the best person for me in my life, when it has left them spiritually bankrupt as well. Our heart, our mind can deceive us into going the wrong way. Also, our heart and mind can deceive us in regards to sin. It says in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 2, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. And so in our own eyes, so often we think everything is clean. But when God checks it out, he says, no, 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 that's not right. And that's why, can you turn that off, please? We'll just go to this one. Yeah, that'll be better. That's why so often people can hurt others and feel justified for doing it. They are convinced that the way they acted, the way they treated that person, the way they dealt with that person is totally all right. That's why people can do various things and they are convinced that it is okay. You know, it's interesting, you listen to people that are in prison. They're all convinced, or most of them are convinced that they've done nothing wrong. They are there and it's not fair. Now, how could that be? because the heart is deceitful. I remember a story of a king who went to a prison of his realm, and he would ask a person, you know, are you guilty of the crime that you're in here for? And they said, no, I'm not. I should be out of here. And he goes to the next person, sir, are you guilty of the crime? No, I haven't done nothing wrong. And he went and he went, and all these people, they're all not guilty. And then he met one man, he says, sir, are you guilty of the crime that you committed? And he says, yes, king, I am. I'm a very evil man and I deserve to be here. And he commanded the guards to take him and take him out of the prison and set him free. He says, I don't want this evil man corrupting all these good people in this prison. Yep, that's probably what our prisons are like too. All right, they're all innocent. But that is how the heart deceives a person. And this is the reason why we need to go to the Word of God and make sure that what we are thinking about what is right and what's wrong, the way that we're going, lines up with the Word of God, because we can be deceived within our mind. And so our mind is very influential, and also it can be very deceitful. But for me, the biggest question that I want answered is, how can I control my thoughts? I know my thoughts are very influential, and I also know that they can be very deceitful. And so the big question is, can I control my thoughts, and how can I control my thoughts? Well, the answer to the first question is yes. Yes, we can control our thoughts. Otherwise, the Lord wouldn't have told us to gird up the loins of our mind. He wouldn't have told us to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. If He knew it was impossible, the Lord would never tell us to do it. But the big question is, how do we do it? And you know, I'm not certainly not going to stand up here and say, well, I've worked it all out, you know, perfectly. You know, I've discovered that when it comes to the mind, that is one discipline where it doesn't happen overnight, and it's an ongoing process, and it is something you must continually work at. But I praise the Lord that I have far more control over my thoughts now than what I did 20 years ago, and 10 years ago, and even 5 years ago. Praise God that that is that a refining thing where the Lord allows us to have control and have victory. But there are two very basic things, and it's not rocket science, thankfully, in how to control your mind. If you turn over to Proverbs chapter 19, verse 27, we read this. Proverbs 19, verse 27. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. This is Solomon giving wisdom to his son, and he basically says, son, don't listen to those people whose words will cause you to err. Now, that's pretty basic stuff. If someone is serious about controlling their thoughts and winning the battle for their mind, well, then they need to take seriously what they actually allow into their mind, first of all, what they allow to influence them. You know, the reason why it takes so many years for some to have control of their mind is because when they were younger, they allowed so much rubbish to go in. And the key is not to allow so much rubbish to go in the first place. You know, we look at computer programs today, and it's amazing the various programs that are there, and you can click on this and all these things happen, and you think, this program is so smart. But Jason will inform you that it is not the program, is it? It's the programmer that makes it so good, all right? Whatever you see there comes from the programmer first. Now, if the programmer isn't too smart and he puts in all the wrong information, you click a button and your computer blows up or something, all right? And you don't think it's a very smart program at all. But it's what gets put in that enables it to work so well. And like it or not, our brain is similar to a computer program where you put the information in and what you put in is what's going to come back out at some stage. Problem, the difference between a computer and our brains is you can't have a reformat, can you? Isn't it wonderful with computers when they're playing up and you're getting all this rubbish, you just wipe it all out. It's gone. You can start afresh. Wouldn't it be nice if we could just, okay, Lord, oh, just blown it for a while. Okay, just reformat me and I'll start again, all right? I want a fresh start. That'd be lovely. And if you're young children here, you've got that start. And be careful what you allow in. Be careful what you listen to, who you listen to, what you see, and so on, because that's putting all the information in for now. And our minds are like that. But once something goes in, it stays there. And I know for myself, and I dare say a lot of you others would attest to the same, a lot of my times when I'm tormented is because of the songs that I've allowed to continually go into my head, the images I've allowed myself to see, the memories that I have of things that I have done, and they are the things that torment me along my road when I walk with the Lord. Here I am having a quiet time and I'm walking with the Lord and I'm going through the day and then, boop, some memory comes up. Some words or some images or thoughts of past. It could be 10, 20, 30 years ago. And then the battle with the flesh and the spirit begins. Things that have just been stored there, unfortunately, put in. And so that information's there, and we have a verse over in Romans. This is what the Lord tells us to do. And I don't believe this is just for children. This is for adults. Romans was written to adults. But Romans chapter 16, verse 19 says this. For your obedience is come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf, that yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. There are two folds here. The Lord wants us to be wise to the things that are good. If you want to be really wise and on the ball about things, make sure they are good things, godly things. They're the things that we should have a vast knowledge about. But there are some things we are to be simple about, ignorant about, and that is those things which are evil. We don't need to know all the evil that goes on. You see, some people, they fall in the trap, I'm going to study all the wickedness in the world and I'm going to see how bad they are and I'm going to look at all the evil religions there are in the world and so on. And they're making themselves wise to the evil things in this world. And they don't spend time making themselves wise to the good and godly things in this world. When it should be the opposite, be simple, ignorant to the evil. And I'm glad when someone tells me about what happened over there or what people did, and you think, wow, I didn't even think people would do that sort of thing. I didn't even imagine that. Now, unfortunately, now I know it, but the thing is, it's good to be simple and ignorant to the evil. It amazes me how people can sit and watch videos and TV and watch on the internet various things on a regular basis, and they're confronted and they hear swearing and suggestive things and immorality and violence and evil acts in every form, and they think it won't affect them. Oh, I've seen that before. I've heard that before, so it's all right. Not realizing all it is reinforcing and making it harder for them to forget those things. To do that is to make yourself wise to the evil and simple to that which is good. The complete opposite to what God says we should be doing. Sometimes it would be good if you did carried around a little notepad and did a little inventory of every swear word you heard, every immodest or immoral thing you saw or heard or listened to, or what was said at work, and the things that you are confronted with. Now, it's not good to do that in the sense you don't want to have it all black and white. But if you did that, you may be startled to know how much evil actually goes in on a weekly basis. And then it might actually show you why you struggle in the battle of your mind. There is so much evil going in, and very little good. And so, the first part to have victory in the mind is to do what Solomon says, take the wisdom, all right? Stay away from those that will cause you to err. Don't listen to them. But then secondly, we need to, as I haven't got a verse in Proverbs about it, but what we're told in Romans, and it'd be good just to turn, oh no, don't, you don't need to turn there, I'll just turn there again. It says in Romans chapter 12, as we looked at before, it says there in verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, all right, by hearing it and consuming with it, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Start putting the godly things into your mind. And, you know, if you turn to Proverbs chapter 4, we read this. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 4. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words. The word retain there means to keep or to dwell on my words. Keep my commandments and live. Our Heavenly Father wants us to retain His words, to keep them, to dwell on them, to have them as the focal thoughts in our life. And so we're to put God's word into our heart. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. And they're all the basics. You hear it, the quiet time, the listening to the word of God, singing God's word, memorizing God's word. Have it in your mind so that that is what you can meditate on. And if you look through the word of God, there is a lot about meditating. And that's because it is essential for the Christian life. But let me finish with two verses. Proverbs 21, verse 31. And it says this, this is talking about battle, but in a physical sense. The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. When the people of God went out to battle, yes, they needed to prepare their horses and get ready for the battle, but safety ultimately was of the Lord. And then if you turn over to chapter 16, verse 1, says the preparations of the heart in man, or you could be preparations of the heart belong to man, and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. And we have this same principle in both these verses, and that is we have a responsibility. We need to get rid of the rubbish and keep that and be simple to the evil, and we have to be wise to the good in our life, and that is the spending time in God's word. But when we do that, then ultimately the victory is of the Lord. The Lord will help us, but we have to do our part first. And if you're there tonight and you think, mate, I just can't control my mind and the things, the way it runs, it certainly isn't girt up like it's meant to. And I can't bring my thoughts into captivity. Well, check what you listen and look at and hear on a regular basis. And see how much rubbish you are letting in. And then also, how much do you spend in God's word, reading it, listening to it, singing it, and memorizing it and thinking on it? I will guarantee there's a lot of rubbish and very little God's word, and it's not the other way around. And once you get it the right balance, that's when in due process you can see God's Spirit start to transform your mind as you seek him to do. So, that's a little bit about our mind. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the day and for this weekend that we could have together. And Lord, I pray that as we go into this world this day, that Lord, we will guard our minds and our hearts, and that Lord, we will be wise to your word and simple to the evil that we are so surrounded with. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.